U.S. economy is growing faster. Well, just barely.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. In a moment, we'll get reaction to this morning's report on the last 3 months of U.S. economic growth. But first, where's Wall Street? It's not really anywhere right now. It's pretty much flat. The Dow down about 4 points at 11,109. The NASDAQ up just a fraction of a percent, and the S&P 500 down a fraction of a percent. Chevron reported today that its profit fell last quarter because of the oil drilling moratorium. Now to Chris Lowe. He's chief economist with FTN Financial, and he joins us live from New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Well, the government reported this morning that GDP grew by 2% in the U.S. last quarter. That's slightly less than many had expected, but faster than the previous quarter. What's your take on this?
Well, faster, but maybe not fast enough. I think this is one of those numbers where investors, as you said, are sort of blah on it. They're indifferent. It hit the sweet spot in a way for the stock market because it's not so weak it threatens recession, but it's strong enough to justify further help for the economy from the Fed next week. But for the rest of us, waiting for the unemployment rate to go down, 2% growth isn't going to do it.
And how do you think it does impact the Fed's decisions as they try to figure out how much money they're going to pump into the economy after they meet next week?
Again, slow GDP growth like this is the kind of thing that justifies more aggressive action from the Fed. The economy clearly needs help. We're just not going to see the 4% growth we need without it. So I think they go bigger.
All right. Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Oil contractor Halliburton is responding to a White House investigation that says the company is partly to blame for the BP oil spill because it never tested the final mix of cement that was used to seal the well. In a statement, Halliburton insists the cement was not the cause of the spill.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering 4 sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday.
To the election now, it's just 4 days away. In San Francisco, voters will be deciding on a ballot initiative that could affect the city's sizable homeless population and its business community. The measure involves banning people from sitting or lying on public sidewalks. April Demboski reports.
Homeless people lounging along Haight Street in San Francisco are as common as tie-dyes and head shops. Mark Weinstein owns Amoeba Music. He says most of the homeless are harmless, but a recent influx of out-of-town drifters has pushed the sidewalk population up. And he says nighttime sales have gone down.
No one really wants to go out to a commercial strip where there are a bunch of kind of unknown entities, possibly high, possibly drunk.
The proposed law would prohibit sitting or lying on city sidewalks between 7 a.m. and 11 p.m., A long list of business associations, including the Chamber of Commerce, support the law. But some individual business owners are opposed. Praveen Madan owns a bookshop on Haight Street. He says the law would punish people for being poor.
Claiming that the sidewalks are only for commercial activity is just preposterous.
The city's latest count put the homeless population at more than 6,000 people. In San Francisco, I'm April Demboski for Marketplace.
The new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is being put together right now, and there's word that consumers will eventually be able to go online to blow the whistle when they encounter problems with things like mortgages and payday loans. Marketplace's special correspondent David Brancaccio has this report from our Economy 4.0 series.
The new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, ordered up by the financial reform law, is still under construction. What we now know is that online technology is going to be a big part of the strategy so that information percolates up from the real world. Elizabeth Warren is the Harvard professor who's building the agency.
People can tell us their experiences. We can aggregate that information into usable data and begin to analyze where problems are emerging, where the hotspots are.
Some call it crowdsourcing, using internet tools so that consumers can serve as sentries in the field.
Let's also talk about crowdsourcing solutions. When people decide that there's a problem and they want to identify a lender whom they believe has misbehaved or a particular new trick that has emerged, it's not only about telling the agency, it's about telling each other.
You will have to establish trust, though, with real people out there on Main Street. You are the government, after all.
Yes, and one has to be careful in the handling of any data. We always have to pause to remember, it could be a great deal of useful information without finding out people's social security numbers or knowing exactly how much money was in their latest paycheck.
Tim Duncan of Business Leaders for Financial Reform wants to see the new bureau push for online access to credit card or mortgage agreements in case there's a dispute.
Yeah, it's just a great opportunity for somebody to be able to have in one place, hopefully a couple clicks away, access to every agreement they have and what their obligations are so they can understand it fully when they need to.
Duncan says he once found himself rooting through old file boxes looking for his documents when he went to pay off his mortgage, and his lender erroneously, if not fraudulently, tried to hit him with a fee. In Washington, I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
And finally to Brazil, where a former McDonald's manager has won a court case against his former employer. McDonald's will have to pay the man $17,500 because he gained 65 pounds after more than a decade on the job. He says he felt pressure to ensure high quality standards by tasting the food every day. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
During the November sweeps, television writers lay it all on the line. They write episodes that change everything. Not the kind of pressure people miss, right?
It does, however, make me fondly reminisce about my time in the trenches. And by fondly reminisce, I mean wake up in the middle of the night screaming.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. You know, it ain't easy writing for TV. The story next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.